The Bible teaches submission to authority. Children, obey your parents. For this is right in the Lord. It says in Ephesians 6 that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So I ask parents, if you know that verse Ephesians 6 and verse 2 and 3. It's an Old Testament commandment quoted in the New Testament. Honor your parents, obey them. Verse 1 to 3. Why? So that it can go well with you. I ask all of you parents, do you want it to go well with your children? Don't just educate them. Don't just give them an inheritance of a few lakhs of rupees. Few millions of rupees. You know, because this goes on the internet and the other parts of the world. When they hear lakh, they think it's a lack of money. It's not lakh. In India, lakh does not mean lack of money. It means plenty of money. They don't understand that word. So millions of rupees, that's not what we need to give to our children primarily. If you want it to go well with your children, yeah, by all means, leave them an inheritance and give them good food, education. But if you really want it to go well with them, teach them to honor you as parents and to obey you and respect older people. I used to tell my children, you must respect your Sunday school teachers when they were studying in Sunday school here. If you don't respect your Sunday school teachers, and I hear a complaint from them, I'm going to take their side against you. I told my children that. I won't listen to all your arguments. Teach them to respect, because we are living in a world where many young people do not know how to respect older people. You know, they even in India, even the non-Christians know how to respect older people. When I travel somewhere, even unknown people who are much younger than me will call me uncle. They don't know who I am. Uncle, please take the seat in a bus or anywhere. But I find today in Western countries particularly, they don't have that attitude or respect for older people. And it's seen in the way they speak to people. They don't call, I mean, most people won't even call you uncle. You can have a young 20-year-old calling me, hey, Zach. Okay, I'm not insulted by that. I refuse to be insulted by anything. It's impossible for a man to make me feel insulted, because I died long ago with Christ. But I feel sorry for them. I say, how were their parents brought them up? They don't even know how to speak respectfully to somebody. That's really strange. But that's the world we're living in. It was not like that 100 years ago, even in America or anywhere. It's become like that in these last 40, 50 years. It's a sign of the end of time. But you cannot follow Jesus if you don't learn to speak respectfully to older people. I'll tell you that. I don't care how much you know of Scripture or how much you know about following Jesus. If you don't know how to speak respectfully to someone older than you, especially someone who's older than you in the Lord, you are a million miles away from following Jesus. Let me tell you that. Jesus learned submission to authority. That's why we speak so much about his first 30 years at home. Follow me as I follow Christ. Let's follow Christ in the way he lived at home. And that's why I believe Paul also submitted to authority. Once when he spoke rudely to the judge, the high priest, and he realized who it was, he apologized immediately. That's respect. You know, we may make mistake, but we must apologize immediately and set it right when we do make a mistake. If your children speak rudely to you, they must apologize and they must ask forgiveness. We must teach them that at a very young age. If you really want your children to grow up following Jesus, many children of believers, even in CFC churches, are not following Christ, and I'll tell you why. Because their parents did not take this seriously to teach them to honor their parents and honor older people and respect them. So, and it's not only in at home. I believe that Jesus would have respected older people. He went to the synagogues, and I'm sure he respected the older people there. He didn't agree with them. He could see all the hypocrisy in all the Pharisees, but he didn't go around rebuking them when he was 15, 20, 25 years old, because God hadn't called him to do it. Can you imagine Jesus sitting at the age of 25 in a synagogue and seeing the absolute hypocrisy of everything going on there, what they called worship and the boring messages he sat. You know, any of you who have to endure some boring message, and sometimes many CFC people write to me, "Brother, please tell our elder, he's so boring. At least if he'd speak 15 minutes, it'd be great. But he speaks for 1 hour. And when he thinks he's finished, he goes on for another 15 minutes. And I say, "Well, I don't know what to say. I keep telling these elders, don't speak more than 20 minutes. But none of them listen to me, so I leave it. I don't force them. But I say, when you are tempted like that, think of Jesus at the age of 25, listening to these boring Pharisees going on and on and on and on in the synagogue. And he just endured it. He knew a million times more than them. But he kept quiet. Can you do that? One day the Father will say about you, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Because he listened to boring sermons and kept quiet because it was not yet his time to do anything or say anything. There are many, many things we learn by submission. I've been in many meetings like that as a young man. And I heard these boring sermons. And the Lord said, "Keep your mouth shut and listen." I remember once in the early days when, even in CFC, you know, we used to throw the meeting open in the early days of CFC for everybody to speak. And then, of course, some people who never got a chance to speak in any church would get up and start sharing something. And I remember when one of these people, not even really I don't even know whether he was a believer, but he got up and started sharing something. And I said, "Lord, what shall I do? I don't want to ask him to sit down," because he had just started. I mean, if he had gone beyond 5 minutes, I'd have asked him, "Brother, please." I don't tell people to sit down. I don't insult them like that. I say, "Brother, we'd like to hear some of the others as well now. So I think let's give them a turn," or something, you know, in a gracious way. Anyway, I was listening to this man, and from the beginning it was just boring, and I said, "Lord, please give me something." So he turned to some verse. He turned to something like, "Let's turn to 1 Peter 2 or something like that. So I turned to 1 Peter 2. And believe it or not, the Lord showed me an amazing revelation from the opposite page, which this man was not even referring to. So I said, "This is amazing. I would not have seen that in the other page if this man had not turned to the other chapter." I said, "How wonderful God is." So God can do. I learned something that day. If you are really seeking God, even in a boring meeting, God can speak to you, not through what that guy is saying, but from the opposite page of what that guy is quoting in the Bible. Amazing. God is so powerful. And this is how I've learned so many things through the years. I sat in many boring meetings. Dear brothers and sisters, instead of sitting complaining, why not say, "Lord, here I am. I've got no authority in this church. I've got to listen to this boring sermon of this guy. I don't know how long he's going to go on. But I'll turn to the chapter he told me to turn to. Maybe you'll show me something else from the opposite page. And I'll get something out of this meeting. So I won't go away from this meeting empty." And some other brothers who are not as wholehearted as you would say, "Oh, brother, wasn't that a boring meeting? We got nothing out of it." And you say, "Hey, you got nothing out of it? I got something. Not from what he said, but I got something from the other page when he..." You know, there's absolutely nothing God cannot do. Why do you say that you don't get anything? So I've learned something about submission to authority because I learned it from Jesus. How he must have submitted to boring Pharisees for years in the synagogue. How he submitted to Joseph and Mary at home and everything. When he was tired and exhausted, if Mary told him to go and do something, "Can you fix this for me?" he would fix it. He was so good at obeying Mary in everything. Some impossible problems in the house, Jesus would fix it. That is why Jesus went and asked Jesus, I mean Mary went to Jesus in Cana and said, "Hey, the wine is finished. And it's pretty late at night. Can you do something?" How did Mary ever think that Jesus could... She wasn't thinking of a miracle because he had never done a miracle till that day. But she had seen through 30 years, this son of mine can fix anything. Somehow or the other, not a miracle, somehow or the other he'll find some way to solve that problem, fix that door or get that water when the well is a bit dry, he'll find some other place or something. He'd always do something. That she had so much confidence in him that she knew he would do something about this. He'd find some shop where they're still selling wine in the middle of the night and he'd fix it. That's what she thought. That even that little sentence of hers shows me how Jesus lived at home. That the mother could go to him and say, they have no wine. You know, little things like this in the Gospels, if you ask God for revelation, you'll see how Jesus lived. Ask God to open your eyes when you read these things. I mean, these things became clear to me only after I got gripped with a passion to live as Jesus lived in his first 30 years. I say, leave alone the ministry part, Lord. Let me begin where he began in the kindergarten. Let me learn how he lived in 30 years without preaching a sermon, without doing a miracle. From that came my ministry. I had to do first and then live. And I believe all of you, my dear brothers and sisters, all of you, even if you're carnal like the Corinthians and fleshly and you're struggling with jealousy and strife and all that, I want to say to you in Jesus' name that the Lord can say about you, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I'm well pleased. I want you to believe that today. Don't have such a low estimate about yourself where you say, well, I'm pretty hopeless. I messed up my life so much. Do you know there are people who've messed up their life more than you at the judgment seat of Christ who will have a great reward because they believed that God can solve any mess. And he couldn't do that for you because you didn't believe it. And then God shows you the video of that guy's life and you discover how his life was worse than yours. You say, boy, he did something with his life. And the Lord will say to you, because he trusted me. His life was worse than yours, but he trusted me. Your life was better, but you didn't trust me. You kept condemning yourself, saying, I'm hopeless, I made so many mistakes, I blundered, I'm still slipping up. And you kept saying that instead of saying, you know, like we have in the screen at the back, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. With Christ I can do everything. Do you believe that? You first must say, without Christ I can do nothing. That's the first part of what you see on the other side of the screen. Then you come to the part where with Christ I can do everything. And when you do everything with Christ, then come to the middle. Be merciful to others who are not able to do all that you can do. We have three very important verses on the screen. You start there on, without Christ I can do nothing. Then you go to, with Christ I can do everything. And when you do that, be merciful to all the others who you feel are not as spiritual as you are. You'll really live a wonderful Christian life. Just need those three verses.